In life, there are many things that are going to distract us and take us away from our single purpose in life. And so roots symbolize this idea that our roots in faith in Christ are getting deeper down. Like, and I pointed to a slide last week, but, and it wasn't there, but I don't talk to the slides people ahead of time before I do this. But there's a little tree on a slide, and it shows these roots that are as big as the leaves. And so we become rooted in who Jesus is and who Jesus says we are. And often we have to return to that because there's so many narratives in the world that would take us away from remembering that or believing that. There are inner voices. There are distractions constantly taking us away from remembering who we are in Christ. And as a matter of fact,
thank you. A reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. The word of the Lord.
Last week when we started into Ephesians 1, we were told that in Ephesians 1, the first verses 3 to 14 is all one sentence in the original language. Did you know that this prayer that Paul prays, it is also one sentence in the original language? So what Carolyn just read, even though it has multiple sentences in the English, it is one sentence in the original. And I said last week, it seems like Paul, he's just overwhelmed with who God is. He's bursting. It's like this fountain seeping out of the ground that you can't stop. You can put a piece of wood on top of it or plywood, but it's not going to stop it. And this prayer is the same idea. It's just overwhelming. So Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, Paul says, ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly. The NLT actually misses an important opening to this passage. So that the NLT is the translation, right? But in other versions, it says, because of what happened before, because of the amazing goodness of God toward us that we read in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 14, then I pray. So Paul is overwhelmed with how good God is, and now he's praying. And listen to what he says. He says, ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly. How's your prayer life? Are you praying constantly? Constantly. Paul here, he says he does that. And you look at other places in the New Testament, Paul says he prays often and all the time. And I was thinking about this prayer. Isn't it amazing that you have Paul here, an apostle of Jesus Christ, kind of like, if anybody's going to have status of some kind, isn't it Paul? Like, I mean, we're reading the words of Paul thousands of years later. But you know what he's saying here? He's just saying, listen, since I heard of your faith in Jesus, I am overjoyed. I am thanking God. I am overflowing like a spring for the goodness of God in your life. And it made me think and wonder, when we pray, what are our prayers often about? How do we pray and what do we pray? Yesterday, my wife, Alyssa, and she's not here, so I'll apologize to her about this story after. But Hannah was there too. And we ended up, Alyssa and I ended up in what I called an argument about politics. Anyone ever have arguments about politics in your home? There's a few of us that do. And I said at one point, I'm like, this is an argument. Maybe let's just summarize each of our viewpoints because I feel like this isn't going anywhere. And I'd like to believe my argument was a whole lot better than hers. And so we ended up summarizing them. And I said at one point, like, this is an argument. She's like, no, this isn't an argument. This is discussion. And I was realizing how I felt a bit flustered because I did think my argument was the better argument. And I think often we have these kinds of things happen in our lives, and maybe we have this happen with a brother or sister in Christ, and we become irritated and we become agitated and then we begin to avoid. Or maybe like me, you begin to pray and your prayer is, God, change them. That's where you put your energy. You start praying that God is going to change their political position because obviously yours is the right one. And you can pick many other different topics where we argue and we talk about stuff. But Paul here, he's not praying about that kind of thing. He's saying, listen, when I think of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, I bow my head and I overflow with gratitude because you are growing in love toward other people and because you have faith in Jesus Christ. How many times do you and I bow our heads and get on our knees and thank God for the faith in each other? Do we do that? Or do we spend our time thinking about all the problems we have with each other and asking God to change that person? But Paul's doing something completely different here. It's like he takes his eyes off of these lesser things and says, listen, we have unity because of Jesus, because of faith in Jesus, because of love for each other. And he says this, he says, I keep asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. So no, not praying that our neighbor changes their view on something, but praying that they would have spiritual insight. But I'm sure it was like a bit vindictive, right? Lord, give them spiritual insight. No, this is genuine love and care for these Christians in Ephesus, that they would have spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. There's a verse in Colossians chapter 2 that tells us that in Jesus lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Imagine praying for each other that we encounter God's wisdom such that it overflows into our life, that we find the very source of all wisdom. Isn't that incredible? In Christ lie hidden all the treasures. This isn't just that we have more data and even know more about our Bible, but no, this is a real encounter with the living God. It's a gift from God too. We're praying that our brothers and sisters would be given a gift from God. I was downstairs this morning at 9 a.m. and we were praying. Maybe many of you know that at 9 a.m. we meet downstairs and we pray. And I was thinking about what I was going to be saying. And it was amazing because Terry, who was leading this prayer, she said, we're going to spend our time praying for the church. So for an hour, this group at 9 a.m. prayed for this church, prayed for you guys, prayed the very kinds of things that Paul is telling us to pray, prayed for your well-being, prayed that the ministry at the church would be run well, praying for spiritual insight, you might say, just like Paul prays. And I thought, isn't that amazing that 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, we all gather here. But we're gathering here in part because of the prayers of faithful people downstairs, 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. Isn't that humbling? Isn't that beautiful? Verse 18, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. What do you think about when you think of light? What does light do? Well, I mean, for one, you need light pretty much to drive anywhere or walk anywhere. Light is essential to growth. I was a grower, as I mentioned. I grew up in New Brunswick and ended up working in a family business and was a manager for growing tons of plants. And plants need a few basic things to survive, and one of those is light. I don't know of any plant that can live without light. As a matter of fact, this plant over here, because I love plants, I got plants for the stage. That light there is on in part to keep this thing alive because I'm afraid it's going to die. Light is essential. And that light, as a matter of fact, is the right spectrum of light for a plant. We need light in the same way. And Paul is praying, oh, that their hearts are flooded with light from God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope. So as the light floods our hearts, we have confident hope. Confident hope. Once again, we had a discussion in our home this weekend about hope. What is hope? And I think of it this way. I mean, there's many different things to hope in, is there not? Maybe imagine life as a tunnel. You're going through a tunnel. Sometimes tunnels are short enough, they don't need any lights in them. But if the lights go out, can you see where you're going? Think of hope as this tunnel. And for some of us, we go through life and we think, if this situation gets better, if I get to the next light in the tunnel, I have hope. But then the question is, what if the next light in the tunnel is out? Or we think, well, there's hope because I'm going to learn something positive out of this painful experience. And so we keep going through this tunnel. But what if the very tunnel itself is a dead end? And for many of us, we do go through life without any real hope. Yeah, there may be lights in the tunnel. Some of them may be out, and we keep going. But for the Christian, there's actual hope at the end of the tunnel. Actual hope. Even if the lights in the tunnel are out. Even if our life doesn't get fixed or the situation doesn't resolve, there is always light at the end of the tunnel. And why is there light at the end of the tunnel? Because Jesus has promised us that he is going to one day make all things right. He has invited us to have eternal life with him. There's always light at the end of the tunnel. In Romans 18, he says it this way, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. Verse 23, we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us, as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must patiently and confident. We must wait patiently and confidently. But Paul's not done his prayer here either. So hope that we have spiritual insight. But there's a third part of this prayer, and that is that we would know the power of God. He says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Who would like to see God's great power at work in their life? I think without fail, all of us would like that. And sometimes when we think of power, we think of energy so great that if you touch it, you die. Like, you know, the power in the telephone wires. And I think there's a sense in which that's true about God's great power. But in particular, here in this passage, God's great power is creative. It brings something out of nothing. I mean, you think about it. If Jesus died, what does it take for Jesus to be raised again? It takes power. And it takes creative power. The same power that at the beginning of time, God's Spirit hovers over the darkness. There's nothing there. And what happens? God speaks and says, let there be light. And there was light. Who needs creative power in their life today to bring energy and life into things that are dead, to broken parts of you that you know you cannot fix on your own? Who needs that? All of us need that. But Paul isn't just hoping that we know this in our minds. He's saying, I want you to know it in your being, experientially. I want you to live in this power. And it isn't something that this whole prayer is not Paul just saying, Lord, I need your power. I need your power. He's saying, I pray this for you. How many times do we bow our heads and get on our knees and pray this for our brothers and sisters here in this church? This power that I'm talking about, actually that Paul is talking about, it is not only this power that we hope to have, but as a follower of Jesus, as someone who's given our life to Jesus, did you know this power is actually working in you right now? Because he tells us, God tells us, listen, when you give your life to God, the old is gone, the new has come. Power created. You have a brand new life with the power of God working in you. And the thing is, as I thought about this and I thought about people I've talked to this week, I have seen this power in people's lives. I have seen people that have gone through the most difficult situation this week. And what are they doing? Sitting in their living room listening to hymns, listening to the music of God. What is that? How do you do that when life is falling apart around you? Because the power of God is at work in you. I've seen people clinging to the truth of the gospel. That is the power of God at work in you. Forgiving people whom it makes no sense to forgive. The power of God at work in you. I guess I just imagine us taking this seriously like Paul does. He says he prays constantly that his people, that the church would understand these things. I wonder if we did this constantly for each other. Do you think our church would grow? Do you think we would grow? Do you think things could be significant here? I think so. And Paul is doing this constantly for each other. And I imagine that as we do that for each other, there's testimony after testimony of people whose lives visibly demonstrate the power of God in them. Verse 21 and 22. Now he, Jesus, is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ. We touched on this last week, but every world system every political leader, every country, every demon, everything under the authority of Christ. And it made me think, if you're in a dangerous situation, where would the safest place to be? Where would that be? You know, it got me thinking about U.S. politics a little bit. And it got me thinking, like, you know, the Americans think that they have the most powerful country in the world. I mean, I've heard some Americans say that. So the president, when there's global conflict or internal conflict, what happens when there's a dangerous situation and the president needs to be kept safe and go somewhere that no one can touch him? I'm pretty sure one of the places is Air Force One. So they get into Air Force One, they go up in the sky, 30,000 feet, I don't know how high that thing goes, and it's like untouchable. There's a whole fleet of aircraft that fly with this thing. It's probably the most up-to-date technologically. It's super safe. And if life is rough, where would you want to be? I mean, maybe you want to be in Air Force One. Well, maybe not, but maybe you want to be in Air Force One. And I guess my point is this, is if the Americans claim that they have the most powerful nation on earth, and if being near that source of power, the President of the United States, in a dangerous time would probably keep you safe, wouldn't you want to be there? But see, Christ, he's exalted above every power, every president, every nation. And he said, listen, I'm inviting you to be united with me. Is that not the safest place on the planet? What can happen to you if you are with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? And it makes me think of Paul in Romans 8, who says, nothing, absolutely nothing can separate me from God's love. Neither death nor life nor anything in God's creation can separate me from Christ's love. And so we're invited into Air Force One, every one of us. The last verse that we have, I gotta look in my Bible actually. So now he, Christ, is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. So we're invited to be in Christ, to be with him. And he says, listen, you guys, Transformation Church, yes, but all of you that place your trust in me, you are my body. You are my body. And I, Christ, fill this body. I actually feel everything, everywhere. You and I are invited into this. And as much as Christ fills everything, everywhere, we as his church are filled with Christ, are we not? Is that not the invitation? And so there's this invitation for you and I to go to people around us with the fullness of Christ in us, blessing those around us. And imagine one day that all of this is going to come together. Everything in heaven and in earth, that's what we learned in Ephesians 1, one day. Everything joined together, everything made right in Jesus Christ. But you and I get to start right now, right here. And so, wrapping things up, I wonder if our prayer might be something like this for each other. Lord, my heart is so thankful for my brothers and sisters today. The ones that you have given me here at Transformation Church. The ones that you've given me in the other churches here in Thunder Bay. The ones that belong to the body of Christ around the world. Lord, I pray that you would give them spiritual wisdom and insight, that you would flood their hearts with light, that you would strengthen their hope so they are confident. Lord, help them understand that they are God's rich and glorious inheritance. Lord, help them to know the incredible greatness of your power for us who believe. I wonder if that could be our prayer for each other. But you think this is a command and only a command that we do this for each other? Oh, I forgot my daily prayer. I better make sure I do this. Without this being a living reality in our own life, I think first and foremost, this starts in our own life so that this prayer comes out of us for and to other people. And if this prayer isn't possible in your life today, let me tell you, you serve a God who is creative, who can take the dead parts of us and make new life, so that this prayer flows out of our heart and blesses the people around us. This is a fountain. This isn't something we turn on and we have to do because God said it. No, no. This is an encounter with God where we meet him and this prayer flows out to other people around us. And it makes me think of you guys again, people in this congregation. It makes me think of Brandon sitting in the back. We have watched as God has done something in Brandon's life. And I have watched as Brandon has invited person after person to church. You see, the transforming work of God in Brandon is real and it's alive and it's flowing to people around us. Isn't that amazing? And I picked on Brandon today. I told him before the service, I said, I'm going to pick on you. I'll say sorry after. But this is happening in so many of us here at Transformation Church. And who doesn't want more of that? Again, just thinking of that 9 a.m. prayer. We're down there. I'm part of this group. I never said a prayer because I was so blessed just listening to people whose lives are overflowing with the transforming power of God praying for us here this morning. And so I think this prayer teaches us that when there is division of some kind, when we feel irritated by our brother or sister, I wonder if we can remember what God has done in all of our lives, that we see in our brothers and sisters a genuine faith in Jesus and a love for others, and we thank God for them. We maybe put aside our differences, whatever they may be, and we bow our head and we fall on our knees and we thank God for them, asking God to fill them with spiritual wisdom and insight, flooding their hearts with light, helping them to know the incredible greatness of God's power. I'm going to invite Justin up at this time and we'll close. And these things, do they not teach us and remind us to be rooted in who Jesus is? Does that not unite us? Do our roots not grow deeper? Is this not a sense of returning when we get into that argument? We have more in common than you would dare to imagine. What if we thank God for that? I'm going to invite you to stand at this time, if you're able. And I have the Lord's Prayer up on the screen behind me. And what if we just hold our hands out like this, and we say the Lord's Prayer together? This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the reminder to pray for each other and to remember how much we have in common because of the faith of Jesus. Help us not to lose sight of that in our relationships. And Lord, I pray that you would keep doing these things, giving flooding our hearts with light by the power of Jesus. Lord, we trust you. We love you. We come to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.